Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac, the cool one.
What? This is our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast.
I don't know. It's brought to you by Les Schwab, though.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Oh, Mario, where are you going?
I don't know.
Those are just beautiful balls.
Figuratively and literally.
We'll do it live.
The era has become.
Yeah, she's going to whip me hard over that.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
It needs to have a nut in it.
See you later.
Whoa.
I would like to know things.
He is a five-star douche magoo.
Part two. I miss Dave.
I was talking to Dave Bartu today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's Dave?
I order, he's got his whole CBD products. I was placing an order today.
Oh, yeah, I saw the post on Twitter the other day.
Yeah. I've been doing
that. Are they cheaper than over-the-counter or the other, like, well, what am I trying to say? CBD products seem to be expensive.
It just depends.
Are Dave's cheaper?
I would say they're probably somewhere right, they're in the middle to lower half. Some of the stuff is really, really spendy, and then you can get some cheapo stuff like off of Amazon that's like just rock bottom, but you don't know where the hell it's coming from. Dave, you know you're getting like the best quality stuff. It's like he's in charge of it, he grows it. So yeah, I get my stuff from Dave now, and he's got like a whole catalog stuff. There's like a pain relieving lotion and stuff to help you sleep, anxiety stuff, just a general CBD. Cause I've been on the CBD thing for a couple years now. Swear by it. Don't take painkillers, anti-inflammatories, any of that stuff. And so, yeah, I go with the Dave Bar too. Check him out.
Okay. So I came across an article that outlines the most racist song that we all know.
Okay. Now, is this going to be one of those ones when I hear it, it makes my ears bleed? Or is it like a subtle racism, but you have to like know what the context is?
The song is an instrumental.
Oh.
So how can that be racist?
Yeah, it seems a bit odd.
Because it's the jingle from a racist song. And nobody knows it because they don't know. It's become famous for just the instrumental version.
All right.
And you'll know it when you hear it.
But the lyrics
are
horrific.
But the lyrics of the song are absolutely horrific.
Okay, so we can't play the lyrics, I'm assuming.
Well, nobody knows the lyrics. That's the thing. Like, this has gone on for years and years and years and years, and nobody knows it. But NPR did a story about it. So, Mike, you can fire off the song. This is the song. You know the song?
Yeah, this is the Mario song, right? The Nintendo song. Isn't this the Nintendo song?
No, this is... It's the 8-bit, but this is the ice cream truck song.
It's the ice cream truck song.
The reason I think of this is like a Nintendo song.
Well, it's because this song that I found is an 8-bit version of it, which is what Mario music was. But
so
yeah,
this
the
song,
do 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 do. All right, ice cream truck song.
Yeah. So anytime you see the ice cream truck,
yeah,
it's usually playing this jingle.
By the way, does the ice cream truck exist anymore?
Yes, of course.
I never see the
of
ice
course.
Cream. I never see the ice cream truck.
Well, you live in a neighborhood of olds.
Yeah, it makes me sad. I miss the ice cream
okay,
jug.
Okay, that's really annoying. Thank you. You get the idea.
I need an Astro Pop or some Tutti Frutti, maybe a Nutty Buddy.
That Musical? Song, the title of that song.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That bad, huh?
Yeah. N, but the word.
Mm-hmm. With a hard R.
Love a watermelon. Ha, ha, ha.
Ooh.
That's the name
that's
of
the
that.
That's the title?
Yes.
And
it has the distinction of the most racist song title in America.
How?
It was written by Harry Brown in 1916 and played on the familiar depiction of black people as mindless beasts of burden, greedily devouring slices of watermelon.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
Now, that was a long time ago.
Yes.
so they tried to figure out, like, what happened? Like, why did this song become so...
Yeah.
You know.
How exactly did that work out?
And, yes, the song was in the Sting. If you have the Sting soundtrack...
That was in there? The, uh-huh. the full song?
No, just the jingle. Do 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 do. The Sting. What a great movie that is. But anyway, my parents had the Sting soundtrack record when really? I was a kid, so really? I remember it from that too. Okay, so this guy from NPR came across it while researching racial stereotypes. He says he was conflicted over whether the song warranted a listen. Admittedly, though. He says, I was rather curious about how century-old overt racism sounded and slightly amused by the farcical title. When I started the song, the music that tumbles from the speakers was that of the ever-recognizable jingle of the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
As quickly as it began, the music paused and this call and response ensued. You ends, quit throwing them bones and come down and get your ice cream.
What?
Yes. That's the writer, that Brown guy.
Yeah.
His name is Harry Brown. So he that's his line. And then black men incredulously say ice cream. And then he says, yes, ice cream, colored man's ice cream, watermelon.
Huh.
Yeah. And this guy was like, oh, my God, I was stunned that this was the song. And then then it goes on to, you know, ends. Love a watermelon, and then for here they're made with a half pound penny, and there are other lyrics.
Yeah,
and they're awful.
Huh, that blows my mind. I would have never. And this goes back to what we were talking about with like certain sayings, right? You have like you don't think of them as being offensive or having any sort of negative connotation to them, and then you learn about them, and you're like, oh. So now, thank you for this. Every time I hear the ice cream trucks, you know, go yeah. by. I'm going to think of the most offensive song
well,
known to man.
Here's the thing. I mean,
can't we do we now
do we
have,
tell the kids
should we pick a new ice cream?
I think we
jingle?
Need to change the jingle.
How about we just do the Mario one, the do 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 do.
That'd be good.
Now we probably cuz it's copywritten, but you know.
Well,
oh,
well and it
that.
Turns out Mario's a bastard too. Mario, I guess, enslaved Donkey Kong. He was like an abusive pet owner, so now we can't even play that.
So how did it become so I guess Brown use the melody of Turkey in the Straw for that song.
Okay.
So this guy was saying, you know, he thought that maybe we could assume that the ice cream truck song is simply paying homage to the Turkey in the Straw, but that is not the case. Apparently, the melody reached most of the country after it was appropriated by traveling blackface minstrel shows.
Hmm.
So that's where it became... widely known.
I had no idea. I've never once heard of this. I've never once thought about this.
It's the most racist song in America, and it still plays on our ice cream trucks.
Hmm. Well.
Perhaps somebody should get on that.
I don't know what. I don't know what to make of that one. But yeah, it's if that's the case, maybe, just maybe, we come up with a new ice cream jingle. Now I looked up, I was looking up the lyrics to that song, and I came across a article on Box that says the racist children's songs you might not know were racist. Did
oh,
you know
dear.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe?
Really? Why?
Well, the original version of that was Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. It wasn't Catch a Tiger by the Toe.
Oh, God. Really?
Yep.
Did not know that.
Yep. The meaning of this rhyme is rooted in the slave trade.
If he hollers, let him go.
Yep.
Jesus.
Slave selection and a description of white slave owners would do if they caught a runaway slave.
No kidding.
Yeah. There is that one. Jimmy Crack Corn, Old Susanna, Camp Town Races.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are all apparently very, very racist in their
Old
origin.
Old Susanna. What's the deal there?
Don't
you cry for me.
Yeah, it's a protagonist of the song. African-American slave is portrayed as dumb and naive in the song. The singer can't grasp the idea of temperature and geography.
If it rained all night,
the day I left, D1. So, even the speech is a very uneducated. They're trying to make it a dumb and uneducated.
Yeah, what is it? I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee.
Yeah, the sun's so hot, I froze to death. Instead of death, they're using death, so they're even making fun of the
God.
Yeah, they're saying that one's pretty bad.
Do kids still learn all these things?
The Camp Town Races is they're saying the same thing. They're saying the vocabulary used by Stephen Foster is meant to mimic black speech. There's a deliberate choice here to make the singer sound unsophisticated. So I guess that was a pretty common thing back then. Was to make the protagonist or the theme of the song an uneducated, naive, dumb slave. So yeah, had no idea, but anyway, those songs are ruined.
They sure are. Jeez.
All right. Yeah, some of that stuff's really real. Well, I know, like, not racist, but like old children nursery rhymes are sometimes really dark. You know, like Ring Around the Rosie, Pocket Full of Posies. That's about the Black Plague. You'd get a ring around your neck when you'd get that dark ring. That's why they called it the Black Plague. So, and then a pocket full of posies would be when you were rotting or when you died, they would put flowers in your pockets so that you didn't stink while they waited for someone to come get your body.
Lovely.
Ashes to ashes, we all fall down. Ring around the rosy. Yeah, that's about kids dying, about the old Black Plague, and yet we sing that. Yeah, a lot of those nursery rhymes are pretty bad. Same thing with children's fairy tales, like the Hans Christian Andersen tales, like the Hansel and Gretel. A lot of that stuff has really, really dark. The originals, before they were watered down by Disney, are really bad. But we kind of wash everything away and we just kind of put a smile on our face.
All right, coming up next, bust out the booze, Grandpa. 6:15 on the Fan. You.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Suk.
Sitting on a cloud of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
Double Sun Power!
Yeah, people are texting in like when they're, you know, when they were growing up and the old grandma, you know, would say things like the eeny, meeny, miny, mo, but then use the N-word instead of, like, somebody mentioned that, said that it was, that he would never forget it, but it was common.
Well, I certainly, I know, like, we want to believe that the N-word doesn't get said. It does, and you hear it, but growing up, I heard it way more. I had a friend of mine whose dad was a big Seahawk fan, and he would call Warren Moon that, but would say he's like one of the good ones. And boy, that was uncomfortable.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was like,
we all heard it though.
Yeah, he's like sitting around his house, and he would just say that, and you're like, oh, good gravy. But I feel like I feel like growing up, I heard that, although I've heard from like my son who plays video games that word gets said all the time on those, like across like the PlayStation, whatever you call it, like the online game. So unfortunately, I still think we got a long way to go on that one.
If you enjoy a daily cocktail or some wine with dinner.
The answer to that is yes.
Or daily cocktails. Or wines with dinner.
It's like, how many drinks do you have a week? Too many. Move on. Oh.
You'll want to raise your glass. Whoa. You'll want to raise your glass to this. A new study found low to moderate drinking may improve cognitive function.
Damn right.
For white, middle-aged, or older adults.
Only
the whites.
So this is right up our alley. White, middle-aged adults, let's do this.
Low to moderate drinking was defined as less than 8 drinks per week for women and less than 15 drinks per week for men. Wow. 15 drink. Does that make you feel better?
That does make me
feel
better.
Makes me feel better. I'm 15? Like, I don't know if I get to 15 anymore. I used to, but.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. Like, one night can end up blowing that up, but 15? I feel like I'm under that.
That's 2 a night plus 1. And well, some nights you have a couple extra, and then other nights you don't drink.
I don't have any, although my drink. Are all drinks created equal?
No.
What's the definition of.
That's true. Well, you know, a glass of wine, a shot of whiskey.
Well, see, now
a can of beer.
A shot of whiskey?
Now we're getting into problems.
Or whatever.
If you're saying a shot of whiskey.
Four fingers, what?
I've been known to have a strong pour.
Or two or three.
Yeah.
See, I pour light, but I pour a lot of them. Makes me feel better.
Does it?
Yeah. Oh, I'll just have a little nip, and then I have a little nip. Oh, I better have another little nip, and then, ooh.
Look, I'm going ooh. With I'm going to feel okay. Ooh. If you're saying under 15, look, I don't know if that's a win or a loss.
That's low to moderate.
But I'm going to grab it.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab it.
The findings support prior researchers found that generally one standard drink a day for women and two a day for men appear to offer some cognitive benefits. This is why you see it. You know, they always.
Cognitive benefits.
Yeah. That old lady, you know, who's like 97 and they're like,
smoking.
What's your secret? Whiskey. That's what it is.
The voice of 1,000 Marlboro Lights, right?
A standard alcoholic drink in the U.S. is defined as 14 grams or milliliters of alcohol. That measurement varies around the world. For example, a standard drink is 8 grams in the U.K., 10 grams in Australia. In Australia, the guidelines suggest no more than 10 standard drinks a week.
By the way, I have no idea what 10 grams of anything is.
I don't either.
You're talking grams, but I'm thinking like you're dealing with blow or something.
Isn't that funny how the U.K., they go with 8 grams for a drink. We go 14.
Yeah.
So basically, one drink here is double one drink there.
Well, I saw online the other day, someone did this with like a KFC, and they did it with something else. They did the UK versus America food portion of fast food, and God, we're fat. Like they had like what a standard meal at a fast food joint looks like in the UK versus us. Our stuff is a good solid 30% bigger. It's
yeah,
we've got portion problems.
Well, I think that you can learn that just by traveling over there.
Yeah.
You go to any of those countries.
Yeah. Portion is a
yeah. It's a yeah, you're like, "Oh, well, this is all I get."
Where's my food?
Where's Claim Jumpers that comes on a freaking you go to Claim Jumpers and it's just like an old prospector pan. Someone came down from the hills like mining for gold and they put a chicken fried steak on that.
And then
it's absurd.
They lord over you and make you eat all of it.
Yeah.
Or you pay double. This is a quote from the Dementia Center for Research Collaboration in Australia. They said, there is now a lot of observational evidence showing that light to moderate alcoholic drinking, alcohol drinking, is associated with better cognitive function and a lower risk of dementia compared with alcohol abstinence. A major global study released last year found that no amount of liquor, wine, or beer is safe for your overall health. It found that alcohol was the leading risk factor for disease and premature death in men and women, but we'll ignore that part. Drinking under the age of 15, a growing problem in the U.S. and other countries, was not included in the global analysis.
I do love when we can do mental gymnastics. Like we do this with the COVID stuff. We can mental gymnastics our way into really anything we want.
What they're saying is it's not safe, but that might help you if you do it a little bit.
And we're going to mental gymnastic our way into, you know, to alcohol being an okay thing.
Well, look, we all do that anyway.
Well, absolutely.
We don't care. You know what? In this country, and I'm sure it's like this in other countries too, it doesn't even matter that alcohol is bad for. We don't even care.
No.
We have overlooked that fact.
It is terrible.
And we'll continue to overlook that fact.
Well, we tried in our country to do it for a brief period, right? We had that whole prohibition thing. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
We made an amendment to get rid of that.
That's right.
Yeah, we ain't doing that.
I mean, come on. Alcohol is the one thing that. It's just a staple. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
ever.
But if you got rid of it, if you got rid of it tomorrow, we'd all be better off.
We would, but we wouldn't. No, it wouldn't
we would just
stand.
Like, we would just switch to weed or coke or.
Oh God, no.
Something else.
No, I think it'd go just the way of prohibition.
Yeah, it would.
Dude, people would not stand for that.
No, I'm saying if it disappeared from the planet tomorrow.
Oh, you just there's no way.
It would.
Well, we'd make more.
It would be much better. Someone would invent it.
We'd just make it. Well, they still have grapes.
That is true.
You can always make it.
Still have hops and wheat and barley.
Doing
and
some toilet wine. But it is true, like weed for the longest time. Like, speaking of growing up and racist old songs and whatever, like just you look back in your childhood. Growing up, man, in like elementary school, boy, they hit you with that. Like, if you smoke weed, if you're a girl, you smoke weed, you're going to be a prostitute and a stripper. And if you're a guy and smoke weed, you're going to be living on Skid Row. It was just hammered into you of how bad that was. Meanwhile, the officer there for the DARE program was you know, going to his car and cracking open a sixer. But it was like, no, if you smoke weed, you're the worst person. It's the worst possible thing you can do. Here, have this Miller Lite.
And now look at all the facts.
I know.
You know, now look at what we know.
Yeah.
Like, nobody even bothers to, like, we just say things.
Exactly.
We don't even bother to, it's not that bad.
Well, again, I'm not trying to say that weed is the most, because there is, like, weed guy that thinks that weed will solve anything. It's like, yeah, COVID? Take some weed. You got cancer? Weed. Depressed? Weed. Anything. Like, that's ridiculous. But the idea is somehow that, like, if you drink a beer, no one cares. But, like, if you someone's, like, smoking a joint or whatever, there's still some people that are like, oh, my God. And, like, think of all the problems that are caused by alcohol and all the problems that are caused by weed. And in my mind, one of those is out in front quite a bit, and that is that's the boozy woozy.
Well, it's not always caused by alcohol. It's caused by the abuse of alcohol.
Yes.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
Many of us can
do
it responsibly most of the time.
The great Freddie Mercury once said that the human condition requires some anesthesia from time to time.
That's right.
He was a wise man.
Well, who is it? Was it Hemingway that said, an intelligent man is sometimes forced to be drunk to spend time with fools?
There you go.
How do you think I feel every day?
Coming in here. I drive you to drink. Like, you go home every night and, like, you just do that Swigard sigh. Your wife's like, what? And you're like, soup. Like, pour me.
Hit well, they me. Don't, they don't, doctors do not recommend taking up alcohol if you don't drink. However, if you do drink moderately, you might get cancer, but it will help your cognitive functioning.
Yeah, you won't die of dementia. You'll just get cancer. Look, can't we just all agree that everything is going to kill us anyways? Look at our diets, just our lifestyles. We're all just dying anyways. We got one foot in the grave. It's like we're tailgating our own funerals at this point.
Just enjoy
just
your life.
Just embrace it, man. Just embrace it.
Hey, do you want to hear what one governor said about reopening schools?
Oh, I think I saw this.
Yeah. You want to hear it? Though?
Yeah, it's a great analogy. It was like Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
Remember Lou said that those boys that were going into Normandy, they knew some of them were going
to
die.
Or people comparing the mask mandate to the Holocaust?
Yeah, yeah.
How about it, Bin Laden?
COVID has really brought out a lot of fine comps here.
We got that for you next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Sue.
I'm going to kick some butt. I'm going to drive big truck on the road. I'm going to kick some ass. I'm going to die. Some kick little ass. Rock, flag, and eagle.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today. And here's to a better you.
Double sun power!
Hold on, I'm watching my guy Kyle Lewis here. Bases are juiced.
I do like the tie socks, or the tall socks there, I should say.
Bases are packed full of Mariners.
Gonna be a strikeout.
Yeah, he's down 0-2. Mariners are up, though, 3-0.
Hey, most hits in the American League this year.
Kyle Lewis,
Kyle Lewis.
Yeah.
He does strike out a bunch, though.
Yeah.
you're all right. Is he still steamer?
Yeah, I told you. We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, you brought him back.
Oh, the M's are already up 3-0, too.
Yeah, just said that.
Well, if I was listening, I would have heard you.
There's a granny. Get out.
Or a sack
fly. Get out.
It brings one in.
Caught by the second baseman.
It's the Dave Niehaus. back, it's going, it's going. And it's caught by the shortstop. Boy, he really lost a step towards the end there, but in his heyday.
So here's the Florida guy, DeSantis.
Yeah.
Here's what he said about reopening schools. He's the governor down there.
Sure.
He said, good evening. There are a number of school districts that launched in-person instruction this week, and many more are planning to open up over the next few weeks. Martin County Superintendent Lori Gaylord told me today that she viewed reopening her schools as a mission akin to a Navy SEAL operation. Just as the SEALs surmounted obstacles to bring Osama bin Laden to justice, so too would the Martin County school system find a way to provide parents with a meaningful choice of in-person instruction or continued distance learning.
God, I love people. The best is that someone...
And then he's, wait, it's not over. He says, all in, all the time.
I just... God, we want to play, like, military hero in this country so bad. Really? Like, someone, he sat down and wrote that. He wrote that out and was like,
no,
yep,
she said it. Lori yep, said it.
This is
Lori told him that.
This is badass.
She said, you know, Ron, I really feel like this is akin to bringing Osama bin Laden to justice. We're going to need some Black Hawk helicopters.
And need some dogs.
We're going to need some night vision goggles.
These couple M4s. Let's
several assault rifles.
For heaven's sakes, this is what we're doing. Really? Trying to send some kids back to school. Navy SEALs under the cover of darkness. For heaven, Florida. Wow, it blows my mind. The
doesn't.
Well, I guess it shouldn't, but I will say that the military fascination by people that want to play. Like, want to play military guy or want to play. It's like the guy that dresses up, like, as a fake cop to, like, pull people over, right? That, it just, it amazes me, like, that is, like, such a powerful thing. Like, you see those, like, ads, like, where they do, like, the tat glasses now. It's, like, worn by our military members. And, you know, there's, like, thousands of people out there and, like, what? The military wears these glasses? Yes! It's like those cheap ass like wrap around glasses.
They want the power.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Like wearing camo, or the guy that owns like 19 AR-15s, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm ready to go." This guy, military, but they don't actually want to be in the military because that requires like discipline, and you know it's actually a really hard job, and someone may shoot at you. Like no one, they don't want all that goes into that. They just want to look badass, and it's like the world's worst cosplay, right? Hey, what do you like to dress up as, Batman? What do you like to dress up as? A badass military, yeah! God.
It is true. That's quite a phenomenon.
It really is.
A lot of guys out there like that.
You know, if you want to be a badass and you want, you know, you can join the military. you can do that. It's there for you. Nah, I don't want to do that. It sounds like a lot of work. I'll just buy the AR-15 and put some big wheels on my tire and get a lot of camouflage. I'll be fine. Order my tat glasses that give me eagle-like vision. It's like they have all these weird ads now, like on TV, and it's all these military products. That's how they sell them. It's like got some ex-Navy SEAL, and he's on there, and he's like, you know, these are what are
military grade.
Military grade, worn by our heroes. And there's like a bald eagle in the back, and then like a cougar makes a noise, and then it's like, yeah, get these glasses or get this canteen. And there's just people lining up around the corner that are like, yep, gotta have it.
I think that those people think that something could break out at any minute. I do think they think that.
They gotta be ready.
Yeah, they gotta be ready.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
And if you, you know, here's the thing. You know, if you pretend that you're in the military, you will be ready. Well, it's like those guys that, like, go into the Michigan courthouse, right? And they all show up there, and they've got like bulletproof vests on,
right?
And they've got their rifles, and they've got like the scarves around their neck.
Yeah, overkill like, much?
Yeah, that stuff has been sitting in your closet again, waiting for you to play cosplay. They like this is the happiest moment of their life. They're like, finally, I get to get dressed up and go out. It's like they're all a bunch of lonely high school girls that bought a prom dress like 10 years ago, waiting for the opportunity, waiting for the ball to come. And finally, it's their opportunity to play Cinderella.
I saw this on Reddit the other day. Military grade is just a marketing ploy. In the actual military grade, quote unquote, means meeting the bare minimum requirements of durability while also costing the least.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. And so true, it sounds like.
Someone said they're rampant in Oregon City. I'm sure they are. You just see them and you just see that. You just,
We know these guys. They're out there. This guy texts and says, my wife likes it when I wear my tack glasses in bed.
It plays the role of Navy SEAL.
Yeah. All of a sudden, everything is clearer.
That's right.
He rappels off the roof.
By the way, why is all...
Breaks into the bedroom
breaks
window.
Breaks into the bedroom with his tack glasses.
Why is all the military-grade stuff 1995 plus shipping and handling? I would think that the Navy SEALs are wearing something of better quality, but apparently not. That's what they wear. And if you want to be like them, all you have to do is order these and apparently try to open some schools in Florida, and then you're practically a Navy SEAL. You're one and the same.
Yeah, somebody wrote a LinkedIn article about military grade, not being simply a marketing ploy that just, you know, is synonymous with tough.
It's a dog whistle for dumbasses everywhere. What? Military grade, take my money. Shut up and take it.
Deal says wearing military grade equipment really gives him the advantage when watching his under 12 softball in Salem.
That is so true. You can just go to any U sports event and you can just spot the dad. You're like, yep, 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 yep. That's the other one too. Like the guys that are in the, you know, when they occupy a government building or whatever, and they're all wearing camouflage. You're on the steps of a courthouse. Why are you in jungle camo? Why? That makes no sense. If anything, all you're doing is making yourself more visible.
So in this article, it says, what are you actually getting when you get military grade? And it says, even when something is made to a mil spec, that doesn't necessarily mean it's good. It just means it's interchangeable. So mil spec weapons, for instance, tend to be machined pretty loose in comparison to how tight they could be. A lot of times a mil spec just takes an existing industry standard and gives it a new code. All common metals have existing common naming standards for alloys.
Man, it's just...
And anybody can buy the material.
No, you don't understand.
Go to a scrap yard.
No, it's military grade. That's what our heroes use.
They're saying if you go to a scrap yard, 99% of the aluminum there is to some degree aircraft or military grade.
This text says, bro, I have so many tactical situations every day. These items are a godsend, bro. Dude,
that makes me so happy that all the aluminum and metal at a scrapyard is...
And you pay that extra.
Yeah, you pay that extra. Same metal they use in military planes. You can get them right here in your belt buckle. What? You're like, what? Like, why does my belt buckle need to be able to stop a bullet? What is happening? Made of real paracord. That's the other one, too. A lot of paracord. Not a good quality paracord out there.
If there is one thing that we are so bad at, it's knowing how things are made or what goes into things. Yeah. We never pay a lick of attention to anything like that.
No.
People
clue.
Are starting to get better about foods.
Yeah.
But... I mean, you know, if you look, it says it all right there on the label. Yeah. Like, what is this? What is this made out of?
Look, I can't be bothered to read. I've got tactical situations in front of me. I got to survey. I got to assess. I got to be prepared. Rob, I don't have time for labels.
I don't understand these words.
I was paid to lead, not to read.
That's a long word. That must be really tough material.
Clearly. And then you find out it's made in Taiwan.
Oh, dear.
That's the other
By
one I love.
By a 12-year-old?
Yeah, where, like, all the stuff is very patriotic, and then you look on the back, it's made in Taiwan. You're like, what? No. It's just don't pay any attention to that part. It's good American company.
Well, we're done making fun of that. Coming up next, John wraps it up on The Fan.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John. Big
John. This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted.
It's tonight Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
You know what that means? Hot corner.
Oh, it is the hot corner. I've heard they've got military-grade radio equipment that they're going to be using tonight to broadcast.
Hot corner with Harrison Lynch coming up next. 10 minutes.
Get down. Get down. Get out. There we go.
Yeah, John's watching the
news. Oh, you're behind us.
Yeah.
I already saw that.
Yeah, we just saw that.
That was a hit. Yeah, we saw that.
That's not just a hit, Roth. That's a ground rule double. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Who's that guy? Nola?
That's That's Austin Nola. And I was talking to Mike. So if you look at Austin Nola, he looks good in his uniform, right? He looks fine.
Yeah. Okay. He must work out.
Like, the Mariners have a bunch of guys this year that don't look good in their uniform, just for one reason or another. I can't really explain it. Vogelbach's the obvious one because he refuses to wear a jersey that fits. For whatever reason, I'm guessing he thinks it makes him look muscular to wear a Smedia. But it doesn't. It's a horrible look.
Yeah.
But the Mariners have a bunch of guys this year, that mostly in the bullpen. They're just gangly looking, and they don't look like... You should look good in your uniform if you're a professional baseball player. So my question to you guys is, I don't think you can be a good player if you look bad in your uniform.
Couldn't agree more.
Name a player who looked bad in a uniform
who was good. Name one.
Right? And the only one, like...
Silence.
Even if you went back, like, Tony Gwynn was heavy, but he didn't look bad in his uniform. He just looked like a fat guy that could
Couldn't
kick.
Agree more.
Right?
By the way, Dylan Moore looks great in his uniform. He looks like a ball player.
And he's out of control this year. He's hitting the ball all over the place.
Rougned Odor. Odor looks terrible in his uniform.
No.
He looks terrible.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
He's just swarthy and dirty and gross.
He just needs to button up.
He looks terrible. You would, if you look at him, there's, and his hat is like way, like goes down, his ears stick out, it's always unbuttoned. In no way does that guy look like a professional ball player.
Nah, I disagree. I think he looks like a little middle infielder. Dirty.
Yeah, and I hate him. He's my most hated player, and I tend to agree with you on this one, Rob.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody who really looked bad in their uniform, looked awkward, but was just really good.
David Wells?
Again, though, he was just fat. And there's a difference between just being fat and not looking good. And like, CC Sabathia was huge.
Yeah.
But he wore a big, giant jersey, and it was kind of baggy. And you just, you know. Like, again, Vogelbach would look, like, look, Vogelbach's hitting right now. He looks horrible. If he wore a double X jersey, he would look better. But he's got some Smedia. It's worse in the white. At least it's the road darks tonight.
Yeah, and he wears like the weird, sometimes he wears, like when it's cold, he wears that weird high neck, like mock turtleneck thing. So it looks like he has no neck, even though he doesn't really have one. But it makes it look even worse.
Yeah, it's not good. So I'm telling you, if you watch the game tonight, the Mariners, they'll trot out some guys in the bullpen that you're like, that guy looks like a ball player.
I have one for you. I was just kind of trying to think of a guy. I've never gotten used to how Sergio Romo looks in his uniform.
Okay.
Don't you think that looks baggy and he looks like a little kid? The way he wears his?
I could see that. Yeah. Like a little Hutch uniform.
Yeah, he just kind of looks, I don't know, just doesn't fit. And he's pretty good.
At least he was at one point.
Yeah.
I'm looking through here. I brought up a list of players who don't look like Major League ball players who are good, and it's not quite the same thing we're talking about, because a lot of them are just fat. Like
there's a difference there. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, people are saying like John Kruk, like because he just, but he, you're right, he's just fat. Fernando Valenzuela looks like he should not be pitching because he's not just fat, John. He's like Danny DeVito, and yet for like 4 years he was the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, that might be a good one right there.
Well, Sid Fernandez was worse than him.
El Cid,
I loved El Cid, but Fernando. I'm just laughing thinking of looking at Fernando Valenzuela right now. He doesn't look like he should be anywhere near the mound, and yet he was pretty good.
Yeah. Lincecum had a little bit of that where he just he was so small and skinny in a herky-jerky motion. A
little bit.
He looked like a dirty hippie.
Yeah.
Like, but I think I'd buy weed from that guy. He shouldn't be winning Cy Young's. The guy should be selling me a dime bag.
Right. Like, and even, like, Tim Loeb is coming up right now, and he doesn't look bad. He just looks little.
Who's this guy?
This is Tim Loeb.
Tim Loeb? Never heard of him. Is that Davey Loeb's kid?
No, I don't know. But, like, he just looks tiny. Like, I don't think he looks bad.
When
he just looks little.
When John was coaching high school football, sometimes we'd go to his games, and my
this is the best.
My favorite game to play. Because high school football, you just get, you know, there's a lot of kids there that are never going to see the field. And
high school High school football is the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. We'll take everybody. Anybody can make it.
So I would gamble. We would play a fun game of least likely to get in the game. And so then we would just go through and we'd scan. And you would just look through all the sidelines and you're like, I'll take number 59, you're taking 92, and we'll see what happens. You bet $5 on it. And if neither one got in, then it was fine. It was a wash. But if one of you got in, then that was the game of who's least likely to get in. And I'm telling you, well, there's no high school sports, but next time you have to go to a crappy game, play that game and you will be entertained for hours. And you won't see anything on the field. You're just focused on your guy and everything that he does. And it usually takes you about a quarter to really focus in on the one guy that you're going with, because it's not just looks. You got to look at demeanor. You got to look at how many times he's going to get water. You got to look at everything he's got going on.
How many times he turns around and looks in the stands.
Yes.
Who's he talking to? Who's he standing by? Is at any point during pregame warmups, does a coach talk to him? That's a sure sign.
Yeah.
If you don't have a coach talk to you during pregame warmups, you're probably not getting in.
Oh, I love it. I that's the only thing I miss about high school football and you coaching was going to those and finding that guy and then asking John about him later. I'm like, hey, what was the deal with number 12? You're like, yeah, well, let me tell you.
You gotta be careful though. You gotta do a little research sometimes because you might get a goofy looking kid.
Yep.
And it turns out he's like the special teams coach's kid.
Yeah.
And then he gets thrown in on like a kickoff return and it'll screw your whole betting up.
Or a long snapper. But I've been undone by a long snapper. I'm like, there's zero chance that kid's going into the game. And then right the first punt, he jogs out and you're like, God damn it. That guy's the long snapper. I never saw it coming.
He's the one snapping.
Yeah.
It's no good. It's no good.
All right, sir. Hot uniform talk. Thank you.
Hey, Kyle Lewis has an RBI tonight for the Steamers, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, we watched it.
I watched it. The bases were loaded. I'm a little disappointed.
I agree. But look, your job in that point is to get a run home and a sack fly. There's nothing to be ashamed of a sack fly.
And it was 0-2. 0-2 count.
Yes. Yeah. So, look, I was disappointed too, but hey, we'll take the sack fly. That's how winning's done, Rob.
Okay. Good night.
All right, go Mariners.
Love your body.
You know what else I miss? I'm looking at just old ball players. You know Bob Hamlin?
Yeah, old Bob Hamlin. He won the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, you know what I miss about like the olden days in baseball and sports in general? Bob Hamlin played and he wore Dahmer molester glasses.
Yeah, he did.
No sport goggles, no nothing. He went to Lens Crafters and got two pairs of those for $49.95, put them on, and went and slugged some homers for the Royals.
Yeah, he won Rookie of the Year with those bad boys.
I love it. That like there was like no thought of like actually wearing any sort of like sport performance goggle. No.
Well, he
just
wasn't.
Give me the Dahmer.
He wasn't there for sport or performance. He was there to hit bombs, and that's exactly what he did. He was awesome.
I want someone to bring back that look. Like someone in the NBA to just wear those bad boys and go out and start balling.
All right, we must run. Coming up next, it is Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.